Today on Real Radio.
When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, honestly, how did he do it? It all comes down to this: by the blood of a lamb that was personal to you and your family.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On this week's editions of Real Radio, our teacher delivers a series of special presentations in commemoration of Passion Week. The man widely considered to be the last of the Old Testament prophets, Yohanan, or John the Baptist, pointed out Yeshua, Jesus, of Nazareth, and introduced him as the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Now, this phrase is quite Jewish in more ways than one, as we'll see in this presentation called The Only God Who Can Die. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
John chapter 12, the Bible tells us there in verse 20, it says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. And the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip cometh and tell Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." In John chapter 12, Jesus is announcing that the time is now, and it's this week in history. But I love the fact that these Greeks, these would be equivalent to who you and I are tonight, non-Jews. They're not of the Commonwealth of Israel. They don't have the promises of the Old Testament, at least not yet. They haven't come to Christ, but they're seeking Christ. And notice what they ask. Sir, they ask of Philip, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I am he who walks through the midst of the seven lampstands. That is the very reason why when you leave this building and go out through the foyer, there is the seven lampstands. That's why we put it there. Oh, Jesus would be our prayer. Always walk in the midst of these seven lampstands. Be at this church, Lord. I never want to have Jesus, nor do you, speak to his church and say, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, you say, Pastor Jack, that's an evangelistic verse. No, it's not. I know it's used in evangelistic outreaches, and I've used it myself, but it's actually incorrect. Jesus is outside of one of his churches in the book of Revelation, and he's knocking on the door trying to get in. Can you imagine Jesus trying to get into a church, and he can't get in? Hey, let me in! Who are you? Jesus! The one you're supposed to be worshiping and following. Wow! We can get caught up in the formality and lose Jesus and all of the order and all of the protocol and all of the hype. We can miss him. Sir, we would see Jesus. That's a good prayer for us tonight. And no doubt, as Josephus does write, that there were those who truly pursued Jesus on this Passion Week in history. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible says, For whatsoever things were written before, that is the Old Testament, were written for our learning, and that we through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's all about Jesus, and it's only Jesus. In Matthew 5, 17, Jesus said about that hope, the Scriptures, he says, Do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Isaiah 55, 11, the Gideon's verse. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in that thing for which I've sent it, says God. Is that great or what? Being dependable upon God's word is everything, my friends. And tonight and this week in history is a great thing to consider. One more verse regarding his word. Psalm 138, verse 2. This is an amazing verse to me. I will worship toward your holy temple. I will praise your name for the loving kindness of your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. And that's a radical thing to say, because God says, I exalt my word above my own name. And that is true. But do we understand who Jesus is tonight on this Passion Week? Because religion can shroud and cloud him out of our lives, personally. We can be involved in ministry. We can be pastoring a church, or we can be serving on the mission field and get caught up. We could be serving Jesus in our schools or in the halls of power in Sacramento or Washington, and we can lose sight of him in the midst of all the Christian service that we're doing. The church at Ephesus was a very important church, very powerful church, a church that was growing. I remember Warren Wiersbe says, if you would have visited the church at Ephesus, it probably had a bulletin like a phone book. It had so many ministries. But that's the church that Jesus says in the book of Revelation, you've left your first love. You got so busy, you forgot. You need to go back and pick me up. Well, listen, this week in history, and for those that are Jewish today, they may be caught up in the formality, but without Jesus, they know not what they do. Today, as I mentioned, Monday evening, Jews all around the world began to celebrate Passover, and this is Passover week. There's three great main feasts of the seven feasts of Moses given in scriptures. Number one's the Passover, and that's what's going on this week all around the world, and that's what went on 2,000 years ago when Jesus was going to the cross. The Passover, followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that will happen later on. Then there's the Feast of First Fruits, and then the second great feast is the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, 50 days, Penta. Then it follows the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then finally that third great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, we could have a lot of fun, but we're not going to do that. We did a study in the summer regarding the Feast of the Lord, and that's a fun study. You can get it and study it, go online and download it, but it's really neat to look at all of those seven great feasts that God has spoken about in Scripture, that they're to be kept by the Jewish people. They'll be kept during the millennium. And as Christians, we celebrate them with meaning. Is this cool thing? Is that out of all of the seven, every one of them has a New Testament equivalent except one of them. There's one festival out of the seven that does not have a New Testament equivalent yet that it's been fulfilled. For example, on Pentecost, okay, you have the Feast of Pentecost. What's the New Testament equivalent? You have the birth of the church on Pentecost. Passover, you have the Passover lamb being celebrated out of the Exodus of Egypt. We'll talk more on that in a moment. And you have the New Testament crucifixion and offering of Jesus Christ. Do you know, out of all those, which one does not have a New Testament counterpart yet? It's the Feast of Trumpets. Very good. Feast of Trumpets. Like now. Can you imagine? Trumpet goes, what's that all about? The trumpet of God. The trumpet will blow and the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. Hasn't happened yet. There's been no New Testament parody of the Old Testament feast. Pretty exciting stuff. So as I mentioned, Passover began this month or this week. Not only, of course, in Israel, but with Jews all around the world. And a couple things we want to look at tonight and just meditate on, and that is Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. It says, observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night in the springtime. Verse 2, therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place, this is cool, in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. Verse 6, sacrifice it there as the sun goes down on the anniversary of your exodus from Egypt. Roast the lamb and eat it in the place the Lord your God chooses. Verse 11, it is a time to celebrate before the Lord your God at the place he chooses for his name to be honored. Celebrate with your whole family, all your servants, the Levites from your towns, and the foreigners, orphans, widows who live among you. The celebration of Passover. Tremendous thing. Given, of course, obviously in Deuteronomy, God gives to Moses to keep the celebration of what happened in Egypt. back in Exodus chapters 12 and 13. When God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, honestly, how did he do it? It all comes down to this: by the blood of a lamb that was personal to you and your family. It had to be that way. God said, you take a lamb in Egypt for a minimum of 10 people. Get 10 people in a room, get that lamb, bring it into your house, keep it for about just a little bit of a week, and when time comes, you sacrifice that lamb. You take that little lamb that your kids now become so fond of, such a cute little thing, they're so absolutely innocent. It's hard to find in the animal kingdom anything as innocent as a little lamb. It's the cutest little thing. Dumb, but cute. It's no accident. The Lord says we are the sheep of his pasture. But you take this little lamb, and as the father holds the head, he would take the knife and slit the throat of that little animal. He doesn't fight, doesn't kick, doesn't scream, doesn't whimper. They just totally submit. And the throat is slit and the blood is caught into a basin. And they were to take a branch, dip it, and put it on the doorpost of their house. Clearly, apparently, on the outside is what I understand, because the death angel then would pass through Egypt and look for one thing and one thing only. Notice when the death angel passed through Egypt, God didn't say, I want you to kill everybody who's been out smoking cigars behind the donkey pen. He didn't say, kill everybody who's been fornicating. He didn't say, kill everybody who's an adulterer. He didn't say, kill everybody who's just got a bad attitude. He said, kill all those who don't have any blood at the doorpost of their house. Isn't that weird? Does that mean then that those who took the blood of that little innocent lamb and put it on the doorpost of their house, were they sinners? Oh, they were sinners, all right. But God didn't even bring that up. All he said was, obey this command. I'm paraphrasing now. Obey this. Get the lamb. Make sure it's without blemish. It's got to be perfect. So go get one. Notice, whoever wanted a lamb had a lamb. Nobody had to run around trying to panic. I can't. We're out of lambs. God provided enough lamb for each house. The house is marked, and the death angel came passing by simply looking for blood. And I want to ask you tonight, is your life covered in the blood of Christ? When the death angel passes by you, and he will come, will he see blood? The blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, on your life. He will look, as it were, on the door of your life and see if there's blood or not. Boy, that's going to be an ultimate moment, isn't it? When death comes to us, if we're not raptured out of here, if we don't hear that trumpet blast, death will visit us someday. And can you lie there knowing that I'm covered in the blood of Jesus? This morning, our neighbor came to our house in somewhat of a panic. She was bringing her two little sons to our house and said, can my little boy stay with you guys? My husband was just in a terrible accident. Thank God he's okay. But you know, we put the kids in the room and put on a little show for them to watch, and then we prayed silently. But I know that man. He's my neighbor, and he accepted the Lord here at this church a while back. And I thought for a moment, well, Lord, I don't know the details about this, but he's covered. He's got the blood on him. He's going to see Jesus if this is his day. Do you have that confidence? God's got a plan, and that plan is not only written in the Old Testament, it is to be applicable today in the New Testament. And God says in the Scriptures, even in the Old Testament, that the New Testament would be coming. Did you know that? Listen, if you're Jewish and you're listening in, you got to listen to this. From your Jewish Scriptures, from your Jewish prophet, who we all love, by the way, is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, and I will make a new covenant, a new testament with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah. Wow. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Oh my goodness, church, did you hear that? God says right there in Jeremiah 31, 32, I will be someday doing away with the Old Testament. It will be fulfilled. I'm going to have a new covenant based upon the Old Testament scriptures. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law, listen to this, is the born again experience. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sins. I will remember no more. Every one of us in this room, we know what that means. That's what happened at the cross. That's where the Lamb of God went. We know the fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy. It's this week, 2,000 years ago in history. Colossians chapter 2, if you doubt what I'm saying. Colossians 2:16 says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink regarding a festival or new moons or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Amen. Wow, are you trying to keep the law? Are you trying to eat only kosher food? Are you trying to, what? What are you trying to do? Are you doing those things to try to achieve something? You can't achieve anything with those things. If you're doing those things because you're celebrating the Lord and you're rejoicing in all that he's done for you through Christ, who's the substance of all of the Old Testament models and types and pictures. When Noah got into a ship and the door was shut by God, read the fine print. Noah never shut the door on the boat. God shut the door on the boat. That whole thing is a picture of Jesus. The whole ark. Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, the sacrifice of the son and God providing the lamb. On and on it goes throughout Scripture. The visions and images that Ezekiel sees and Daniel sees of the angelic beings and of God himself. When Daniel and was away on business, interestingly enough, and sheltered from the fiery furnace. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah by their Hebrew names, are there in the fiery furnace. And what does Nebuchadnezzar do? He looks inside and he says, wow! There's one in there that looks like the Son of Man, taken right out of the book of Luke. Nebuchadnezzar. By the way, that completely flipped him out. He wound up giving his heart to God after that. You'll see old Nebi in heaven when we get up there. It's going to be amazing. In Genesis 22, verse 8, I said it a moment ago. Abraham said to Isaac, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering. A burnt offering is an amazing declaration because the offering that was to be presented, burnt offering, is an offering that's completely consumed by the symbolic picture of sin. That lamb that was offered up for Isaac, like bookends in John chapter 1, verse 29, on the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Think about that on this Passover week in history. In Leviticus 23, verse 5, the Bible says that on the 14th day of the first month at evening, it is the Lord's Passover. And so in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, as I mentioned earlier, it says that you shall take your lamb and it shall be without blemish, a perfect little lamb. For what? For the sins of that home. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, that indeed Christ is our Passover who was sacrificed for us. Isn't that beautiful? You guys, you see why the Old Testament knowledge to have it is so good, because it confirms what you read in the New. We need this. It's only Jesus. Only Jesus offered himself for us, you guys. Only Jesus. I want you to think about that. Only Jesus offers himself for us. Paul the Apostle says that for a good man, someone might die. Might think about it. But Jesus offered himself, listen, for you, for me. Has anybody upset you today? Jesus died for them too. I wouldn't die for them. John 10:14, he says, I'm the good shepherd. And there's only one, mind you. Isaiah 53:6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. This week in history, Jesus died for us. Only Jesus. Are you a Buddhist? Who do you have that's died for you and has even communicated such things to you? Come on, pull out your books. I'll pull out my book. Book to book. You can't beat this. It's only Jesus. The Bible goes on to say in Isaiah 53 that like a lamb is silent before its shearers, so Jesus, so the Lord opened not his mouth. Why the silence? Think about that. Jesus is going to the cross this week in history, and he's going to lay down his life willfully. We were talking about this week. Think about it. In the kenosis, the Greek word is, Jesus had all power to do whatever he wanted to do. This is what makes him so incredibly, awesomely wonderful on top of everything we know about him. Check this out. If somebody came up and slapped you in the face and you had the power to slap them back, you'd be highly tempted to slap them back on the face. In fact, some might even say it's your right to defend yourself to slap them back. I understand that. Most guys understand that. But when somebody comes up and you have done good to them all your life, you've done good to them. You know how shocking that is when somebody turns their back on you and you've been good to them the whole time and they pull out a nail and nail your hand to a piece of wood, a cross. Bam! The temptation to at least say, "What are you doing?" would be high, I would say. But to have all the power in the universe and beyond to do something about it, to say, you know what, that hurt, and I tell you what, boom. He didn't do that. He could have, he didn't. Jesus wasn't weak and weakened and went to the cross. He was God. And the great kenosis is this, that he could have done anything and he chose not to. And he could have said, you know what? I know the prophet said that I would be silent at this moment, but I am the Word of God and this is the way it's going to be. All humanity can go straight to hell. I'm going to make new people all over again. I'm going to start over right now. I'm going to make a new Garden of Eden and a new this and a new that, and boom, he could have done it. He didn't. He laid his life down. He said, okay, hit me. Stab me. Beat me. Pluck out my beard. Rip my back open. Mutilate me. Do what you must. Relieve your vengeance against innocence. All of the stuff and all of the anger and all of the, why God, lay it on me. And he took it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Only God Who Can Die. It's part of a mini-series called Only Jesus. In fact, that's the theme this entire week here on Real Radio in commemoration of Passion Week. Now, of course, due to time limitations, we're able to bring to you just portions of this four-part series called Only Jesus, but it is available on DVD through Real Radio. Our offer is simple. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send to you Pastor Jack's four-part DVD series, Only Jesus. Call, click, or write in order to do so. Ask for it by name if you call or visit us online. Only Jesus. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, you can pay us a visit at our new realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.